You're listening to Confidential Brief with Chad Thomas.
Wow, the end of the year. Can you believe it? 5 past the midday mark and midnight tonight, we're going into a brand new year, 2019. This is our last live show of the year on the last day of the year. And joining me a little bit later in studio is the girls from Girls on Fire. So I must say I feel very safe in studio today having these three ladies from Girls on Fire. Quite a year we've had. This month celebrates the first year anniversary of Cyril Ramaphosa being elected by the ANC-NEC at NASREC into the presidential post of the party and later sworn in as the president of the country when Zuma was recalled. Must be very bittersweet for Zuma because it was very similar circumstances after Polokwane that led to the recalling of Mbeki and Zuma then being installed as president. It's been a very interesting year for Ramaphosa. People were expecting a lot from him. I don't know whether he delivered on everything that we were anticipating. Some things that he did deliver on that I'm very excited about is that he brought stability to our justice cluster. We now see a new national director of public prosecutions in the form of a woman, which is great, Advocate Shamila Buhai. We have a new head of the police, General Sithuli, and of course we have General Advocate Godfrey Lapierre, who's taken over the DPCI, the Hawks. And the Hawks going into 2019, I believe, will be focusing more on what their name suggests, the DPCI, the Directorate Priority Crime Investigations. They're going to be concentrating on priority crimes, and hopefully the commercial crime component within the police under Brigadier Maxson will be strengthened so that the DPCI can concentrate on what they were set up to do, and that is priority crime, and that the comparison between the Hawks and the Scorpions stop once and for all. Unfortunately for Ramaphosa, his cabinet reshuffles weren't all that was anticipated. It was much of a same old, same old. Hopefully in the 2019 election, when he receives a mandate from the people, not just the ruling party, he'll feel more of his own man and make his own decisions and bring some new blood. We need more representation. We need younger members, and we need people who are dedicated, not just there because of a factionalized party, not just there because of a tripartite alliance, but there so that we can get things done. I'd like to remind you that the views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of Chai FM.
Chai FM has signed a code of conduct that is enforced by the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Under the code, we are committed to giving news that is accurate, comment that's fair, programming that's not harmful to children, does not amount to hate speech, or the description of gratuitous violence or explicit sex. If you think we are not living up to that code, then you can inform the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Direct any complaints in writing to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, P.O. Box 412-365, Craighall 2024. That's the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, P.O. Box 412-365, Craighall 2024. Or send a fax to 011-325-5736. Send an email to bccsa@napsa.co.za. For more information, please visit bccsa.co.za.
You're listening to Confidential Brief with Chad Thomas.
Still can't get over that it's the last day of 2018. In some aspects, it seems like the year flew, but then when I see what actually happened during 2018, and I think back to some of the things, it seems like it actually was quite a long year. Just a case in point, this is the year that those Thai boys were caught in those caves and with rising floodwaters. It seems like such a long time ago, and it will show you that although the year may have seemed to have flown past, it actually didn't. I'm joined in studio today by Tepi Mekwa, Lynette Oxley, and Bianca Bell. And they are from Girls on Fire, which is part of GOSA, which is the Gun Owners Association of South Africa. And we're going to be chatting about their campaign, which is all about Girls on Fire. So ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. And I think I'm going to kick right in with Lynette. Lynette, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Lynette, you're an executive member of this campaign. Tell us a little bit more about Girls on Fire. When did it start and what was the reasoning behind it?
Well, the reasoning behind it, basically, I've been a firearm owner since 2003, and I actually find that in 2015, I think something happened. One of the ladies from one of the major media centers said, it's only old white men in South Africa that basically shoots, and that is not true. Women is the fastest firearm ownership in the country at this stage. We also that it was during that time with the 2015 when the campaign from the United Nations, which is basically the campaign for the year of activism against women and child abuse, I said we don't need to have activism, we rather have action. So women can actually look after themselves. We don't need people to protect us. We can decide for ourselves to protect ourselves. And that's basically where it started. Currently, we're going to kick off the year in 2019 with a year of action, victim no longer. We are every woman, and that means from kids or ladies or girls from 12 years old to ladies of 80 years old. And that is from ladies that want to carry firearms for self-protection to sport shooters. We are basically every woman, especially in a crime-ridden South Africa where women get abused, they get killed, they get assaulted. What I'm just saying is that we need to start actually looking at ways of protecting ourselves, and that's where the campaign started.
I'm glad you mentioned other aspects pertaining to gun ownership, such as the sporting aspect, etc. And I want to talk about that a little bit further on in the show. Tepi, how did you get involved?
Well, I was introduced to Lynette, actually, by a mutual friend of ours, Kofi. I went to school with him. And he invited me to a shoot one day, and I've been bitten by the bug, basically. I think he always knew that I enjoyed that aspect of life. But more importantly, I always talked about protection. Being a single mom and, you know, having kids and not being able to protect yourself. But most importantly for me was the fact that I wanted to learn how to handle myself in such situations. You know, even if I don't own a firearm, what would I be able to do if I were able to take away a firearm from somebody else, you know? So it was a safety issue as well, for me, knowing what it's all about. And now I just want to go into the sports side of things.
Lynette, you raised a very interesting point earlier. You mentioned that shooting is associated with old white men, and I'm sure you were talking in the context of sports shooting, etc. Firearms have a negative connotation worldwide. When one looks at people's attitude towards firearms, people's attitude towards those that carry firearms, I even know of friendships that have ended when people have found out that their friends are firearm owners, etc. One needs to look at firearm ownership in context. And one of the examples, because I myself am a firearm owner, and one of the examples I've used over the years is that one of the safest countries in the world is Switzerland. And every able-bodied citizen that serves to protect their country, and that's everybody between, I think, the ages of 16 and 55, have an automatic rifle with a magazine, with rounds, in a safe at home. So it's not about the firearm, it's about the people. But obviously, coming from a country where we had a low-intensity civil war, we had warring factions in KwaZulu-Natal, where firearms were utilized extensively. When one looks at Tugela Ferry, when one looks at Hammersdale, the Natal Midlands, people in South Africa are frightened of firearms. How do we change that perception? How do we try to get the public to understand that firearms are not just there for self-defense, but they're there for sport? And it's very necessary for people to take cognizance of their own self-protection.
It is important from both the self-protection and from a sport shooting point of view. I've been shooting, sport shooting, since 2006. We compete equally with men in the sport. We don't shoot in a different class or anything. Guns are fun. Tsepi mentioned she met me. I've never seen anybody take to guns like she has. She shoots excellently. She comes out of a community that is very frightened of firearms. And that's why I want to do this campaign. People start realizing guns are not evil things, it's people behind it. And by owning a firearm, I first want to just say is owning a firearm actually makes you a much calmer person. I've just busy doing some research and stuff, and one of the things about victims is you have to understand, first realize that you might be a victim. Secondly, trying to avoid a situation that you are going to be a victim. And then having to make a decision that if you are becoming a victim, that you actually will put up a fight. So most ladies that own firearms are not going to go out there in a self-defense situation and try and shoot somebody. They're basically there to, as a last resort, being able to protect themselves. And my husband always calls me his first responder. In a situation where you are with your family, they're not going to look at the old lady, white lady, or a lady sitting at the table. They're basically going to concentrate on the men in the at the table. They're never going to expect that the lady at the table might also be armed. In terms of sport shooting, there is so many different sporting associations in South Africa which offers ladies fantastic ways to actually go and have fun. Every time Tsepi shoots, she has this big smile. And that is the nicest thing for me, is when I take new ladies to go and shoot, and afterwards they have this massive smiles in the air, on their faces. They realize that guns can be used for sporting. In the Ladies Stop Shot that we're having on the 26th of January, we are going to have ladies shoot anything from pin shooting to South African Defensive Pistol Association to IPSC. There's going to be a lady from combat shooting, which is military, and even ladies shooting a 50 cal, which is a large caliber. And people think that ladies can't shoot it. They shoot as effectively as men, and they can compete on an equal basis.
We're going to talk more about this event that's coming up next year, which sounds quite exciting. Bianca, you've been a police reservist all the years, and you now competitively shoot. What was the difference between training to be a police reservist and receiving firearm training under those circumstances, and then wanting to actually shoot for the enjoyment of it and the sport of it? And the reason I ask you, a lot of our listeners served in the military, served in the police, etc. And it wasn't always the nicest experience being on the shooting range, having a range instructor shouting at you. And sometimes it was very necessary to be put under pressure because of what could happen in a real life situation. So give us the comparison of being a reservist, receiving training, and now being a competitive shooter in your civilian capacity.
Chad, I've been a reservist for the last 20 years, and when I first started shooting, it was never for fun. It was definitely a career-driven action that needed to be done, because you knew you were going to either save yourself or somebody else's life on the road. But the training for it was very intensive. You were 10 to 30 people on a line, everyone doing everything at the same time, very hard, very driven, and really not enjoyable. It was an unappealing thing to do on a monthly basis, or even every 6 months, depending on where you were stationed. 4 years ago, I was approached to come and take part in the SAP Nationals competition. They needed a female on the team, and I was introduced to the IDPA shooting fraternity, and shooting actually became the most amount of fun. Because suddenly you were put into a situation where not only were you out there kind of getting rid of some frustrations and enjoying yourself on the range, you were competing and partaking with guys that didn't see you as a threat, number one. You were there to compete and take part in a sport where everyone treated you equally. And everyone was there for the same reason. There was no aggression. There is no aggression in sports shooting. It's a sport. You are there to extend your skills, to make sure that you're safe out on the road. And for me, that's the most important thing. At the end of the day, whether you're a girl or a guy and you're partaking in the sport, it is to develop your skill. That is what it's all about.
I'm chatting to Tsepi Mekwa, Lynette Oxley and Bianca Bell about the Girls on Fire campaign from GOSA. Myself and DJ Flo are behind the decks. And when we come back, we're going to chat more about the upcoming events in January, the campaign as a whole, and we're going to be taking questions and comments from the public, which seem to be flooding in. You're listening to Confidential Brief. My name is Chad Thomas. At the controls, DJ Flo, and in studio with me, Lynette Oxley, Tsepi Mekwa and Bianca Bell, and we're chatting about the Girls on Fire campaign. Let's go to social media. Remember, you can contact us on WhatsApp 061-895-1019. You can SMS us 34519, or you can tweet us at Chai FM. All right, Margaret Burkholt writes, I absolutely love this campaign. I agree with your views on gun ownership, Chad. The laws that forbid the carrying of arms are laws of such a nature. They disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather than to encourage than to prevent homicides. For an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man. That was Thomas Jefferson in his commonplace book, quoting 18th century criminologist Caesar Beccaria. Well, thank you very much for that, Margaret.
Well
that
done. Kind of,
wow, that summed everything up. Let's go to the next one. Hi, I'm battling with Signal. Will this interview be available as a recording? I'd very much like to listen to the conversation. Thanks, Megan. Megan, yes, you can. If you're listening via FM on 101.9 and you fall out the area, there's live streaming on your cell phone. There's also live streaming on the internet, on your laptop, on your podcast, whatever you want. However, we will be uploading a podcast within the next couple of days. So within 2 days, there will be a podcast that gets uploaded to the Chai FM website, as well as to the Confidential Brief radio show Facebook page. So we will be sharing that far and wide. Let's go to the next one. Hi, this is Larry Marks. Lynette. Okay, question for you, Lynette, from Larry Marks. What is your view on the GFSA campaign to disarm civilians and in particular to remove a woman's right to self-protection? For our listeners, GFSA is Gun Free South Africa, and we'll be having them in studio next year so they can come chat to us about their views. So the question to you, Lynette, what are your views on the GFSA, specifically about them taking away, according to Larry, the rights of self-protection?
That is a really important question. Why are people like the lady from Gun Free South Africa and people like Barbara Frey, which basically tries to get the UN to disarm people, why are those women actually wanting to disarm other women? I actually just don't understand that. I feel that people are, a lot of ladies think that guns are bad things. They don't think about it any further. It's time for us, if you look at international law and where Barbara Frey comes from and where GFSA comes from, if you look at where this came from, it is really important as a basic right that you can defend yourself. And why try and take that away from us? We're not crazy people that's just going to shoot up people. We're not criminals. We all just want to actually defend ourselves. When guns get taken away from us, the legal firearm owners, it's not going to make it go away from the illegal firearms. It's just going to make us more vulnerable in the sense.
All right. If you're going to send us messages, please be so kind as to give your name so I can give you a shout out. This message doesn't have a name, but thank you very much for sending it through. We have to rely on private firearm ownership to protect us. The SAPS Reservist Force have completely fallen apart. It used to be a force multiplier, now it's gone. Your guest, Bianca Bell, can comment on that. Thank you to that listener. If you could send us another message just now with your name, I can give you a shout out. And please, in future, all just add your name. Bianca, the SAPS used to be a force multiplier. That is no longer. What is your take on that, being a reservist?
Unfortunately, at the moment, we do have a couple of hiccups in the system on getting the pre-existing reservists trained. But we are in the process of getting that sorted out with National and with Head Office, and that's something that we're really looking forward to getting kicked off. There are a number of courses being run at the moment that they are looking at reintroducing the recruitment and training of reservists across the country. There are a few courses that are currently – they actually had a passing out parade the day before Christmas. So we are looking at upping the numbers of members that are on the road. Yes, over the years, there has been a large amount of reservists that have left the system for a number of reasons. Guys that have immigrated, they're no longer as young as they used to be. They're not as happy with the systems of how it is. But we are working really hard at getting the guys back on the road, getting them reauthorized and trained. And as soon as we can do it, I can't wait to get back on the road and see what we can do to help out our normal permanent force members who need as much help as they can get.
Margie's made a comment here, the constitution of most of our states, and I think here she's referring to the United States of America and that of the United States itself, assert that all power is inherent in the people and that they may exercise it by themselves. That is their right and duty to be at all times armed. So obviously that's the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment is something that's extremely controversial in America at this point in time because of the right to arms, the right to militias, etc. But it all comes down to one's right to self-protection, which I believe is an inherent global right. Chepi, coming from an environment where firearms are normally in the hands of criminals, what has opened up your eyes in terms of this campaign, and what do you say to those that say civilians should not be armed because they themselves make themselves targets for criminals who want to get their hands on those firearms?
Well, the most important thing for me was that I have that ability to know that I'm in a position to take care of myself. I am in a position to take care of my loved ones. And if we take away that notion that firearms are only in the hands of criminals and so on, then we are going to turn the view about gun ownership around. That's what I believe. I think we've darkened ownership of firearms. I think we've made it such an evil aspect, because even when you look on television, it's about, you know, the wrong people with the firearms, you know. And I'm in a position to actually say, I'm standing here, I am my family's six. I am here to protect them. And this campaign for me is so important because it's saying to my fellow women, it's saying to them, guys, stand up. Don't rely on just either men to protect you or just the police. We know that SAPS, you know, suffers a lot in terms of resources. So all we're saying is that we are in a position to stand up and protect ourselves. All right, and defend those around us, which is very important to me. It's made me a bit more relaxed, you know. They say, oh, but you'll become violent. And no, actually, you know, when you own a firearm, you have this notion that, wait, I'm in a control position where I am. And it's for me to contain the situation before it gets out of hand. That's the discipline that it comes with. And that, for me, is very important.
We've reached the halfway mark. We're chatting to the ladies from Girls on Fire. And call me corny, but I really like the song that we're about to play.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Running like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Dealing with catastrophe. But she knows she can fly.
take away my fear when they in the fear, God. Do you fear God? Cause I fear God. And in my backyard, that's a deer God. And that's a horse ranch. And to my core fans, keep repping me. Do it to the death of me. X in the box, cause ain't nobody checking me.
This girl is on fire.
You're back with the Confidential Brief. My name is Chad Thomas, and today we're chatting about the Girls on Fire campaign from the Gun Owners of South Africa. Going back to social media, this is Antoinette. I'm a legal firearm owner and a member of GOSA. I'd just like to give my thanks to Lynette and the Girls on Fire for empowering women to protect themselves. I feel much safer since I started caring for self-defense. I want to know how I can contribute to this cause and to stand for what Girls on Fire has. So, Lynette, how do people get involved?
Just get involved. We have a Facebook page called GOSA Girls on Fire. Join us. We're trying to run campaigns. Get involved with the campaigns like the Lady Stop Shop Shot campaign that we're currently running. Next year we're doing I'm Every Woman, trying to get more ladies shooting and getting them exposed to guns.
Join a club.
And join a club.
Get involved with the sports shooting. Absolutely. Get involved with a club. Find a place close to you that will hone your skills and give you the confidence to carry your firearm with absolute certainty that at the end of the day, you have a tool in your hands. It doesn't make you a good person or a bad person to carry a firearm. It's a tool. You are going to use that tool to the best of your abilities at the end of the day. So hone that skill. Join a club. Find a shooting range that you can get some tuition on. There are hordes of guys out there that are looking to empower women carrying their firearms and teaching them how to do it correctly. So find out where your local clubs are, do the inquiries, join the campaign, and for those that want to come through on the 26th of January, we would love to see you guys at the Cecil Payne shooting range on the 26th for the Girls on Fire campaign.
Unfortunately, it was fully booked within 6 days. We had a limited number of spaces, so it was booked very, very quickly.
Well, you can tell us all about that campaign and the one that follows that just now. We have another question that's coming. Well, before the question, we actually have somebody saying very appropriate song. It was a very appropriate song. I love those anthems. But again, please put your name in there so we can give you a shout out. Aziza writes, a question to the Girls on Fire team. And I'd like to give this to Tepi to answer. How would you suggest ladies interested in learning about firearms or interested in training go about starting the process? Regards, Aziza.
First of all, as Lynette mentioned, join us on Facebook. And there's more than enough information there. And get in contact with Lynette or myself or Bianca, you know, just to find out information of where you can start, what you can do, and when you can do it. And I promise you, Lynette has got a lot of information for most of South Africa, actually. So she would be able to steer you in the absolutely right direction. I'm also here to take any questions on the page as well. Just tag me in a question you want to ask, and we'll take it from there.
Lynette, tell us now what's happening on the 26th of Jan, because this is the culmination of this whole Girls on Fire campaign. I believe there's a shoot. I believe there's a dinner. It sounds very exciting.
It is very exciting. Sort of February this year, I started thinking about how to expand the campaign, and I started thinking about I'm Every Woman, saying that anybody from a girl of as young as 12 can actually legally own a firearm in certain circumstances, to older ladies in their 80s. How can I get them involved on a fun basis? And how to also introduce new shooters to a variety of guns in a very fun way. And that's where the Lady Stop Shot 2019 idea started. We're going to have a hell of a lot of fun. As I said, we're going to have like 8 stages with people shooting pins, the steel challenge, which is basically shooting steel. We're going to have a IDPA, or South African Defensive Pistol Association, defensive multi-gun stage, where you're going to be able to shoot a pistol, a shotgun, and the AK.
Yes.
Which Tsepi absolutely loves.
Absolutely.
In a sporting situation. We also have a lady from that runs, she's one of the top shots for the military in combat rifle. And then we're going to have fun in terms of the 50 cal, in terms of bolt action rifles. We're going to have 2 shots. The ladies are going to have 2 shots with the 50 cal. And then also with the 308 Trivella. Lovely, lovely guns. And puts big smiles on people's faces.
There is no better feeling than pulling the trigger and hearing the gong at the bottom of the range.
Exactly.
When you hit it.
Now, Lynette, this day is already sold out. How many shots do you have on the day booked already?
We've got 115, including some of my safety officers. There was a similar event held in Cape Town last year, but most of the ladies were actually sport shooters. This time, I'm, as a lady, going to run as match director, which is nice. So I don't want men to run it. There's going to be a couple of stages where we are going to have men help out, because in terms of firearms that needs to be rented, and so somebody will have to be there for the firearms. But most of my safety officers are ladies that's involved in shooting. And what is so nice, I've just looked at, I've done everything is booked on practice score. 67% of the ladies that's booked on this event are novice shooters, people that's not sport shooters. Only 33%, and that includes the safety officers, are basically sport shooters. And that's not ladies that stop shots and stuff. You don't need to be. It's just they're actively involved, usually the ladies that's actually helping for the day. After that, we're going to have a gala dinner, and where we're going to present our meme competition winner. We have a meme competition currently running, and that runs up until the 5th of January. A prize, there's an absolutely lovely prize of a 6-hour P290 RS, which is a Liberty Edition. It's a lovely little 9mm gun, which most guys also wanted to get, and they're very jealous. I have been offered some money for guys to put on dresses to come and actually shoot the day. Because I've got about 330,000 rands worth of sponsorship so far for the event, because it's expensive to run in terms of ammunition and other guns and stuff like that. So I'm wanting to thank all of the sponsors that's actually been involved. I was charging the ladies $150 to actually enter. And that doesn't even cover the cost of one 50 cal shot. So they're going to probably shoot around 120 to 150 rounds. And that is from 9mm to .22 to 7.62 by 39, your AK rounds. There's going to be some 7.62 by 51, which is your 308 rounds.
Tsepi, tell us more about this meme and cameo campaign that forms part of Girls of Fire.
Well, it's bound to be absolutely fun. The idea is basically to get all women, different South colors, African, yeah. South African women. We want, it doesn't matter, green, black, yellow, pink, who you are, we want you involved. The idea is to have a lot of fun. The idea is to enjoy yourself on the day, and be every woman with that meme competition.
I should have actually played Whitney Houston, I'm Every Woman.
I actually thought of playing that on the day when we actually starting the event. So, yes.
I think one of the big things with the meme and cameo competition is about getting people to understand that having your firearm and being able to show that you are a firearm owner is... it's enjoyable.
It's not a wrong thing.
Yeah, it's not about a scary thing. It's about showing what your intentions are with your firearm, but doing it in a way that is completely natural. And that's what it's all about.
And the memes are a little bit funny, you know. The previous meme winner was quite a little controversial. But the lady was a non-shooter that actually entered the previous competition, and she won a very nice M&P 9 shield.
I'm nervous to ask these ladies to stop speaking over each other. Who knows what will happen to me in this studio. Lynette, with the success of the number of entrants for the January 26th event, are you planning anything for the future?
I'm definitely going to make this a yearly event, so please look out for it. Unfortunately, because of the event itself and the number of shooting to make it a safe and enjoyable shoot, I can't have more than 100 ladies for the day. We will have other shooting days. If you're interested, please phone us. We can basically organize it for a group of ladies. We can organize shoots if they want to. That's in both in Johannesburg, in Cape Town. We've got ladies all over the country that can actually get involved. So next year, please look out for this. As I said, we were booked out within 6 days of this event.
Do you have to be a member of GOSA to be part of the Girls on Fire campaign?
Absolutely not. We are basically just, if you're interested and you are a like-minded woman, please be part of us.
TP, what advice would you give to a woman that's looking to purchase a firearm? And what are the conditions to be able to purchase a firearm? Because I think a lot of people are unaware of just how difficult it is for one to be able to procure a firearm legally and to carry a firearm legally.
My advice would be, one, do it right the first time. Get in contact with the right people who'd be able to do, number one, help you with your training, help you with your certification, help you with your licensing, everything. My suggestion would be to get in contact with Lynette, and we'll direct you to the right places. It's very important that you get training. It is very important. You get training, you get safety, you learn the law around ownership of firearms within South Africa. And that's very important.
Bianca, before I go to Lynette to get all the contact particulars, how people can find out more about the campaigns, etc., what has this done for you as a woman? You somebody that has taken an active role in volunteerism by volunteering as a medic, volunteering as a policewoman in the reserves, going through the training, etc. But this is different. This is something that comes home with you. This is something that you want to do on a social basis. So tell us your story in respect of firearms and why it's so important for you to be a part of a campaign like this, and why it's so important to empower women.
Coming from a policing and medical background, you're kind of one of the boys, but in the real world, we are seen as the lesser, the weaker. And I've, through the years in the police, you see a lot of women that are involved with attacks, hijackings, domestic violence, where women are victims. And since joining the Girls on Fire campaign, it's been incredible to see how many women, with just a little bit of guidance and a little bit of confidence, have slotted themselves out of victim mode and are suddenly confident about going back out into the real world again. Even if they're not carrying a firearm, just putting them on the range and getting them to feel confident about something again has empowered them in so many other variations of their life that suddenly it's not about fighting back, it's about reclaiming themselves. And that, to me, has been absolutely phenomenal over the last 2 years.
That was very well put. And I think it kind of hits home when one hears how victims may have overcome the whole victim scenario. Lynette, how do people get in touch with you? How do people become members of Girls on Fire? And if there's guys that want to get involved, what do they do?
They can all contact us or ask to join Ghosts and Girls on Fire Facebook page. That is probably our main place where we speak to each other. If they want some further information, they can phone the main GOSA offices, which is telephone number is 011-888-4037, or they can email us on girlsonfire@gunownerssa.org.
Tepi, what are you looking most forward to come 26 January?
I'm looking forward to seeing so many women. I'm looking forward to being on the range. That's number one. And just having seeing women just enjoy themselves and just the perception changing around gun ownership and seeing new women come to the range. That I'm looking forward to.
Well, thank you, Bianca, Tepi, and Lynette. I really enjoyed today's conversation. I'm looking forward to getting a lot of positive feedback from you girls come February. I'd love to invite you back to the studio so you can tell us how the event went and how we can get more people involved. DJ Flo, thank you for coming in. It's the 31st of December. It's New Year's Eve. I wish you all a blessed New Year's. Please try not to celebrate with fireworks. If your neighbors want to celebrate with fireworks, please just caution them and tell them the dangers of fireworks, not just for themselves, their children, but especially for animals. I wish you all a blessed 2019. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. And I'm closing out with another of my favorite anthems. And no, ladies, it's not Whitney Houston, but it's quite close.